Let's try again. We're up to Perek Ches. Let's start. Let's review Pasuk Ches first. Let's review through the Pesukim. V'atem kisfu al ha'yehudim katoy b'yenechem b'shem ha'melech v'chisfu b'tabas ha'melech. So the king now says to Esther, you shall write. You, kisfu, write al ha'yehudim concerning the Jews katoy b'yenechem, that is good in your eyes. What is good in your eyes b'shem ha'melech v'chisfu b'tabas ha'melech. And seal it with the signet ring, ki chesaf. And the reason why Achashverosh says to do this and not to retract, the old letters, is because of the rule, because ki chesaf nichtav shem melech v'nachtav b'tabas melech ein lehoshev. The old letters cannot be returned, cannot be rescinded, cannot be brought back. And as we mentioned, we discussed this theme. We did try to develop this theme yesterday. It's because, as Rashi really is the one that leads the way in this approach. Ein noe lehashivoi. It's not noe. It's not the right thing. It's not pleasant. V'lasois ksav hamelech biziuf, and to indicate that the original letter was a forge. Or the original letters were biziuf. Here means, literally means forgery, or it was a forge of what of Haman did. It was incorrect. So Rashi's, the key word of this Rashi is it's not noeh. But if Achashverosh really wants to, okay, we got to go there. It's good. We had a little accent before, so before you came in. But if Achashverosh. Would really want to cancel the old letters, he could. It is within his power to do so. And that's really what Esther and Mordechai wanted. They wanted him to go to the extreme. And this is where we're coming to the part of the Megillah where we are filled with disappointments. Is this is a Musar for Galus. The miracle of Purim is a miracle which takes place during a period of time of Galus. And in Galus, you're not going to achieve results that are 100%. The results are at most Mordechai Rotsu Leroyv Echov. Most, but it's not going to be 100%. So here is really one of the first disappointments in the Megillah. Esther and Mordechai are demanding that you should cancel the original decree. Achashverosh stands and maintains his own ground. I did what I told you already, and that is what we discussed yesterday. This entire idea. I've already done more than enough. And if you really want me to do something more, I'll let you write new letters so you can prepare yourself and you can fight back, but not to go to the degree where I'm going to cancel the letter, even though technically it would work. As we mentioned yesterday, that not everyone agrees with this Rashi. So most of the Rishonim learned that Achashverosh's hands were tied. Not like Rashi, a Noah. It's impossible. Even if I would want to cancel the old letters, you would undermine the entire authority of the government by canceling something which a law which already is in effect. There's a constitution. You want to go change the constitution? You have to have an amendment. To have an amendment, you have to turn over the entire world to add amendments to the constitution. It's not going to happen at this moment in time. So let's make the best that we can possibly do, and you'll send other letters in order that you can protect yourself from your enemies. Pasuk Tes. Vayikaru sefer ha'melech bo'isahi b'chodesh ha'shlishi. So they called. They called out the sefer. They called out to the scribes of the king on that time. When was it? B'chodesh ha'shlishi, chodesh Sivan. We're making it very clear as we do throughout the entire Megillah that chodesh ha'shlishi is we're calculating the months from Nisan. We're not calculating the months from Tishrei. Just to review, we learned about Rosh Chodesh Adar, about this week's parasha. It's a timeline. Chodesh Zelachem Rosh Chodashim. It's really a contradiction. On the one hand, we're calling it by the name of Sivan. Sivan is the Persian name of the month. On the other hand, if we're following the secular names of the months, we would expect to calculate the month from Tishrei, because secular kings, when we date documents, and we date a document after a king of a secular nation, it's dated from Chodesh Tishrei, not from Chodesh Nisan. So we would expect month of Shach. If we want to go make mention of the fact that it's Chodesh Sivan, and we want to use that expression Sivan, we would expect the pastor to say Chodesh Sivan is, I don't know, how many months since Chodesh Tishrei. Tishrei, if we want to go use that and say that's the third month, then it would not be appropriate to make mention that it's called Chodesh Sivan. Here there is a combination of two different concepts. On the one hand, we're saying Sivan, we're acknowledging that the months, it's a new system of calculating time, keeping track of time. We're going to use the months of, as we mentioned, Pasuk Lo Ye'omer Od Chaya Hashem Asher Heleva Asher Hevi Es Bnei Yisrael Mi'eretz Mitzrayim, but instead Chaya Hashem Asher Heleva Asher Hevi Es Yisrael Mi'eretz Safayim. We're going to refer to the time of the Gula. But on the other hand, if that, we would take that to its natural conclusion, which indeed it appears that the Sefer Ho'ikarim says, then we should say that Chodesh Sivan is not the third month. Chodesh Sivan is, I don't know how many months is it since 9 months. Was it 9 months? Chodesh Sivan is 9 months since Tishrei. So it's the wrong month. So if we want to go say it's the third month, then we should ignore, we should not use the term Sivan, because in the Torah there are no secular names for the month. It's just, so there's a hybrid. This over here is a hybrid. And it's interesting, it's not a kasha on the Sefer Ikarim, because the Sefer Ikarim will say that since this did not yet, this is still during the time of Chorban, according to the Sefer Ikarim, the hybrid is still here in effect, because now both are coming together. Wait a short amount of time, wait until the Geula arrives, meaning they build the Bayis Sheni, then according to the Sefer Karm, you would no longer say Chodesh Shlishi. You would say then that it's Chodesh Tishi, Chodesh Sivan is Chodesh, but since we have not yet at this moment in time in the Megillah reached that period where they built the Bayis Sheni has not yet been built, they're still in Galus, but already it's apparent that the Geula has begun to sprout, so now there's a hybrid between calculating still the previous calculation of Zman from Chodesh Rishon, plus the secular dates, the secular months, which we're here referring to Chodesh Sivan. Esther was, I think they must have overlapped. They must have overlapped. He instituted that in Gaul, and even in Eretz Yisrael, they would make mention of those names. But
Ezra died in 3448. This is 3405. Still,
but they didn't use those names. Only when they.
But Ezra lived until a very old age. He was 120, I think. Right.
They ready. Once they entered the bubble, they started using these names. These names, yes, that's right, because that's what the pasuk says. Lo ye'omer od chay Hashem asher helav asher hevi espeishol mi'eretz Mitzrayim. Ela chay Hashem asher helav asher hevi. The pasuk says it.
Which pasuk? Where?
It's a Navi. I don't remember what pasuk is.
When Ezra, they started using these names.
But even before that, even in Esther, even before they started using those names.
But they were still in
Babel. They were still in Babel. They were not yet in Eretz Yisrael. The Megill already is referring to those names.
Right, so the point is that we keep on saying the reason they're using these names of Rabbis or whatever it is,
yeah,
Babel, is because it's a Gula from Babel.
Yeah.
We're talking over here like...
The Gula already is starting. It's already called the period of Gula because the Gula even started before the time of Esther when Koresh, once Koresh gave permission to build the Beis HaMikdash, that's a Schalta de Gula. But according to the Sefer Ikarim, you would think you should go all the way. It should be Chodesh Sivan, who Chodesh HaTishi. It's the ninth month. That far we're not going because the Bayis was not yet built. So it's a hybrid. It's a hybrid of the secular name, but we're still calling it after the Chodesh V'Chodesh HaRishon.
Gemara in Rosh Hashanah discusses all the problems that you have with dating from last week's parasha. Yeah. The ultimate question,
yeah,
it says Moshe was 80 and Aaron was 83. When they died, it can't be that one was still 120, one was 123. Leaves it with a kasha, because Aaron, depending on what you say, Aaron could be exactly 3 years difference, because it says in the Gemara, his birthday was Rosh Chodesh Av, Moshe was Zayin Adar. It's two different years. If you say it's Nisan, then the year changed. If you say it's from Nisan, then the year changed again. If you say it's Tishrei, it doesn't work out no matter how you...
Who is this question?
It's in the Gemara.
The Gemara, okay.
Gemara mentions Rosh Hashanah. So it leaves it with a problem. Uh-huh. You can't figure, because you want to say, here brings all the questions, tries to answer. This, there's no answer for it. It says, forget it.
Okay.
There's no way to answer it.
Okay. Okay, so they called Vayikru Sefer Melech Boisahi B'Chodesh HaShlishi Chodesh Sivan B'Shloish Osri HaShavov, the 23rd day of Sivan, they were called. They were called to their service. They were called to appear and to write letters. Imagine you have a whole room and everyone in the room is writing these letters. And what did they write? Vayikot saved the text. The text of the document was Kechol asher tzivu Mordechai el Hayudim, to the Jews. V'el hu achashtar penim v'hapachlis. It wasn't only to the Jews. It was also sent to the achashtar penim v'hapachlis, the governors. Then the achashtar penim, I do not know what this word is. It's some type of elite member of society. I think we had this before. These are the people's strategies that we say Ramchal. It comes from the word strategy. The achashtar penim. The people who were
applied to generals or people who were decision-makers.
To the decision makers and to the governors, the Sore Hamadinas, the prince of the Medinas, Asher Mehodu Viat Kush, Sheva, Vyashim Umeya Medina, to 127 Medinas, Medina Umedina Kirsava, Va'am Va'am Kilshno, to each Medina according to their script and according to their language. Everyone, it should be clear as possible what exactly the letters are. The El Hayudim, and likewise to the Jews, Kirsavam Vichil Shalom, and the Jews in their script and their language.
Well, amongst the Jews there were different scripts and languages?
No, it means, though, that's a very big question. What does it mean, Kirsavam Vichil Shalom? The Jewish people at this point in time, were they using, what were they, what was, what, no, it's a very good question. What was their script and what was their speech? Was it Ksav Ivri or Ksav Ashuris? Was it Hebrew or was it Aramaic? What was it? So that we had a discussion. Rabbi Klein, in his book, he has a discussion. It's not so clear. It's l'chora. It's an Aramaic and it's a Ksav Ivri. It's Ksav Ivri. Only later, when they returned to the build of Yishini, did Ezra insist that we should no longer use Ksav Ivri? Did it change to Ksav Ashuris? Ezra was the one that made that change. Until this point in time, the Jewish people were writing Ksav Ivri. Only in Sifrei Torah, well, even in Sifrei Torah, it's not so clear if they actually use Ksav Ashuris at this point in time. But it says here, Kichsavav Nechil Shenam, what was their script? What was their language? I think you could simply assume it was Ksav Ivri and Ksav, and the language was Aramaic.
It wasn't Lashon Kodesh?
No. Lashon Kodesh was already forgotten. Once they left the land, they left Eretz Yisrael, 70 years later, Ezra makes it very clear when they came back to Eretz Yisrael, no one knew Hebrew. Hebrew was a very holy language. It's sensitive to location. Once you leave the holy land, it's forgotten. The language was, the Chazal say, was completely forgotten in the 70 years that they went into Golis. When they came back to Eretz Yisrael, it was going up against the hill, against the grain, to retrain the people to speak Saf Lashon. So that's what it says over here. Now let's see over here the Rashi, if there is Rashi, on Pasik Tes, Kirsavam, the Osio Shel Kirsava, the Osio Shelah, Kil Shoinoi, who Hadibor is the expression. Now it's interesting, one point is very, I saw a very nice part, very interesting part from Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik, he writes in Pirkei Avos. Okay, I don't have all the details in front of me. I don't remember the details, but in Pirkei Avos, one of the Mishnayos in Pirkei Avos relates all the various things that took place that were created erev Shabbos bein Hashmoshes. What Perikei?
Yeah.
So it says there all these miraculous things: the Matash Shel Aroin, the Pi of Osson. A whole long list of things that were created. The common denominator of all of the items listed in this Mishnah are things which are lamala miderech hateva, beyond nature. The only exception in that list is haksav v'hamichtav, which basically means the script and the language. The ksav means the ksav
v'hamichtav,
the shape of the letters, and the koyach of language. That was created erev Shabbos v'ein Hashmoshes. So the question is, that doesn't belong there. Ksav v'hamichtav is not something to learn how to write letters. A language and a form of expression, letters and how they come together to form words and sentences and paragraphs and ideas, that's not miraculous. That's something that's just natural. You don't need a bria. This is a convention. Human beings will come along at some point in time and they'll figure out we need to communicate. Adam already spoke, but here he spoke words. But over here, to put the words on paper. It's not something which you would expect. What you're going to write that Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmosh, they invented the computer, the microchip.
No, but that's why the Sefer Yetzirah says that part of what is Bamichtav means the that the Aleph, a Vav, and a Resh actually produce light. Those letters are letters that have the power when you write those
supernatural letters.
The letters itself, writing those letters.
And this is a mystical idea.
Right.
Okay, that's a mystical.
That's as far as I got. After that, I got lost. Yeah.
Who says this?
Sefer
Yetzirah. Sefer Yetzirah. Okay.
Yeah, he says that they actually have the power to create light.
And Achnai. But so that's this mystical idea.
Right. Yeah.
But Al Derech Pshat, every new technology, what is a script? A script and a language. It's technology. It's people come together, they need to do something, they need to communicate, so they invent. They invent a certain script as a form of communication, they put letters together, make words, sentences, paragraphs. It's not something that fits into the Mishnah of things that need to be created, Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmoshos. The Piha also, I understand, this is the Laman Derech HaTeva. The Mata Elokim, the Mata which does all the miracles, Dam, Tzvardeh, Kinim, Datzach, Hadash, Biachav, those are miraculous. But a script and a language? This is like someone invented the computer, someone invented an automobile. It doesn't fit into the Mishnah. A miracle? Yeah.
The Chinese still today, the Japanese don't write ABC, they have
characters.
Okay, so they have symbols. So their symbols are no different than the alphabet. There's no different. These are symbols that are created by me. What?
It is very. They don't have an alphabet.
It's more complicated. So it's less. Pictures represent concepts.
There's thousands different characters. They can't manufacture numbers. Words, technology. They don't have the ability.
For years, no one had a zero. He counted. No one thought of putting zero. The guy thought of zero.
Yeah, but it's not something that is l'malo miderech hateva. Human beings come together. They come together, they have a need to communicate in a written form, there's a convention, we'll use these symbols, we'll create a language. It's not something you would expect should be included in a group of items that are clearly items that are l'malo miderech hateva in the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos. Rav Soloveitchik says, an incredible concept, he says, that's your big mistake. The koyach, the art to communicate in words, the art to put something down on paper and to express to an idea to a later generation is a gift that is indeed l'mayla m'derech hateva. Now, as we all know that there are people, you can put something down in words and it's dry. There are people, there are individuals who have a koyach of writing. They know how to give over, to convey an idea. You know, there's a koyach in speaking and there's a koyach in writing. This is something which the Mishnah is teaching us is a gift that is l'malo miderech hateva. The ability to communicate ideas to a future generation through records, through words, is something which, don't make any mistake and think that it can be done al derech hateva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given this koyach into the world. Basically, that's what he's saying. He's saying you can do your best, you can write, but to be an effective communicator, that's a different league. You can communicate, you can write things down, but that your word should have meaning and the later generations should be able to capture the essence of what was in the past, it's l'mala miderech hateva, and that is why it had to be included in the miracles of Ben Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashos. I would like to suggest that take that idea and you can add what is going on over here in the Megillah. The Megillah over here is making such a big deal about something that would seem to be so obvious. It says here, they send letters. What would be so terrible if the pasuk would stop right there? They send letters to the entire world. You have to go tell me Medina u Medina kichzava va'am va'am kil shaynai v'el ha'yehudim kichzavam v'chil shaynam. You have to go through the effort of writing these things out. Well, when you take the idea of Rav Soloveitchik, and the question is really a major question, what is Haksav, the Hamichtav, doing in Mishnah and Pirkei Avos, Parakei, Ben Erev Shabbos, Ben Hashmashos? So Rav Soloveitchik says, you're making a big mistake. You think it's something that's just so simple. Communication. If you succeed in communicating your message to someone, you should know it's a miracle. It's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because only certain words and certain way they're formed trigger a reaction in the recipient, in the one who reads it. Yeah?
Maybe. The idea is not the form, but the ability to creatively
to be an effective communicator.
Creative writing.
Creative writing.
And therefore, creative relates to...
We all know there's certain speakers. Everyone, you know, they have, go to a website, Torah Anytime. They have how many speakers they have? They have there, like 300 speakers. So which speaker do you want to listen to? Everyone has, there are certain, every speaker appeals to a certain type of person. To one person, to listening to one speaker, it's boring. For someone else, it has meaning. It's a gift. For one person to be able to communicate, to be effective in communicating with the whole world, I mean, this is Melech HaMashiach. And especially in writing is a different, it's a whole different type of art. That's Ksav HaMichtav. So we can suggest that this idea is really what is being alluded to over here. It was a miracle that the letters, we have to remember, the hatred for the Jew is so great. Halacha b'yadeinu Esav Sonei Yaakov. The whole world is ready. Liyois Asidim. On this fateful day, it's legal for them to destroy, to wipe out the Jewish people. Ushlalom lavos. There's no greater incentive than money. There's no greater incentive. Look at the world with meshugah over the Powerball lottery. Mamish meshugah, a sickness. You can do a documentary, write books about the sickness of how people are addicted to money, to the appeal of money. Ushlalom lavos. Mordechai now needs to be successful in crafting letters that will be effective in telling people, watch out. Watch out. If you start up with the Jewish people, you're going to pay the price. And therefore, the pasuk is emphasizing, kichsavam v'chil shoinam, according to their script and their language, which really mimics haksav v'hamichtav. And for the Jews also, kichsavam v'chil shoinam, and this koyach was created, Erev Shabbos, Bein Hashmashos, together with all the other miraculous things. This is also a chelik of the Nes of Purim, that Mordechai was effective in communicating the message to the world, watch out. Don't start up with the Jewish people.
Yeah, I told you once, this is the longest pasuk in
Tanakh.
43 words. A good trivia question.
Right? 43 words,
the longest in Tanakh.
Pasuk test.
Yeah.
43 words, wow.
There's one other in here that's 42, but this is the longest.
The longest, 40.
The longest word also.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
What is the significance of the number 43? This week's parasha. This week's parasha. Maybe there's a drush.
Gam.
You opened up a drush. Gam. What? That's tach. Gam. Gimel mem. Gam. But what's? I saw yesterday. This week's parasha. I saw a sure sefer. This week's parasha in Tfilin. How many azkaros are there in Tfilin?
Oh, I thought they're all 13 words, three different times. So it's a remnant for 13.
13. What do you mean? 13 words.
13 words in the Pesukim that talk about Tfilin. So there are three times, once in Vos Chanan,
yeah,
and twice in Bo. There's 13 letters, 13 words in the Pasuk to put on Tfilin.
Oh, 13 words to put on Tfilin.
I said I made once...
the number 13, Echad. Okay, but the number 43, I'm sure he writes that in the how many times does Hashem's name appear in the Tfilin, in the four parashiyos of Tfilin? Kaddish, Vahoyaki V'yacha, Shema V'hoyim Shema, 22. So that's for the Tfilah Shal Yad, there are 22. And the Tfilah Shal Rosh is another 22. That's
44.
Oh, I made a mistake. It's 45. So not 43. It's 45. So I made a mistake. 45. I thought I saw 44. 20. I made a mistake then. Okay, there's four, so 45. Then he says, but, and also the shin. The shin, shin dalid and yud, shakai, v'rokol, amres, kishema, shinik, v'yomeka. So that's 44, and that's 45. Okay, 45. So tefillin basically tells us 45 shemas.
How come you're missing three letters?
You mean from the Aleph Bay? I didn't say the Aleph Bay is only one pasuk.
Okay, let's see over here. Okay, so let's see over here. Rashi, pasuk test. We did kiloshenu hu adibar, ba'isya shalok kiloshenu hu adibar. Let's see the targum, pasuk test. The iskirivu le lav lorin the malka b'idnahahi. They called for the scribes of the king at that time. I guess they worked overtime. They had to be called into the office and to come and sit down and to write the letters. When did they write the letters? Biyarcha till he say the third month. Who Yerach Sivan is the month of Sivan. By the way, the Medrash says why were the letters written in the Kodesh of Sivan? The zuchus of Kabbalah Satar. It's a Medrash. The zuchus of Kabbalah Satora. Because they needed, again, this is a very great miracle. We're dealing over here, the Jewish people are in mortal danger. The letters are enforced to destroy them. Achashverosh refuses to rescind the first set. So now they have to write a set of letters to counteract. We need every possible merit in order to succeed. And the Medrash says the merit that came to their defense was the Zuchus of Kabbalah Satoira. Especially since we're going to know that Kimu v'kiblu, Kimu ba'asher kiblu kvar. Okay, so it's the third month of the Yarchas Sivan, the Asrin Utwasu Yom, the 23rd day, Bay. The Ichtav was written, Gecholash Gechol Difakeid Mordechai Levas Yehudoin. It was written all the word Mordechai commanded. Ulevas, who was it sent to? It was sent to three different types of people. Is Tar Tilosin. I have no clue what that is. As Rav Michalson said, it means decision makers. People who are planners, decision makers, people who are occupying very generals, you said, generals, and the joint chief of staff, all of those people, those nice medals and nice fancy uniforms. The parchin, and the parchin are the governors, the rav, rivonin, these are the sarim, the leaders. The mismanon, Aruchunin al Pilchad was appointed in the position of authority over all the districts. The min Hindiya Rabba ved Kush until Kush. From Hindiya Rabba, the great Hindu. I mean, Hodu viad Kush. He said, that's just some Hodu. Hodu the great. Look what he says. Hodu the great. Hindiya Rabba, the great Hodu. We had Kush.
Which is India?
Well, according to this...
Well, you don't know what it is.
No, but the way he's describing India is obviously a reference to India.
The Targum is alluding to me. Hodu v'yad Kush means, we always understand this to mean from one location to the other. And as the Gemara actually discusses, either means they were two ends of the world, or they were right next to each other. And it's not a because it means the world is round, so you go from one end. But here he seems to say the Targum, it means from the largest, Hodu was the largest city, or the largest country, or the largest district. In his malchus, Kush was like they have here in the news. This 13-year-old kid is the governor, is the mayor of the city. How could a 13-year-old boy be governor of a city? Well, the whole city only has nine citizens, right? There are cities you can buy there. You can go buy online if you want. You can go buy a whole town. The whole town is only the size of
it. There's one person in the city. He's the mayor of the town and he's the janitor.
Also, that's the town. So the Targum appears to be saying
Chester, New York.
The Targum appears to be saying Mehodu v'Yadkush is a new parish. Hodu v'Yadkush means from the largest to the smallest. The largest to the smallest. Not like what we're familiar with from location to location, from one end of the world, from sea to shining sea. No, it means the biggest city, New York City. What's the biggest city in the United States? The largest city.
What population?
New York?
New York.
And what's the smallest city? I don't have to Google it. I'm sure you'll Google, you'll find the smallest city in the country. That's the chiddush of the Targum. Hindiya Rabba. Viad Kush, Lemeya, Viasrin, Shvap, Pilchin, 127 districts, Pilcha Pilcha Ki Roisham Ki Sava'a, according to the Roisham, the impression of their language. There's a language, and the language also has its unique symbols. That's what was written. V'yamo v'yamo kimam lal lishonei. And every nation, according to their expression, he has different expressions, kimam, the words of their language. Ulvas yihudoin kiroisham kisvehon. And the Jews, kiroisham kisvehon uchimam lal like the expression of speech. So the Targum here is doing something very interesting. The Targum here is saying that he's differentiating when it comes to the Medina.
Yeah,
it
says district.
So then the Targum says Medina, then Kichsava. No, I'm sorry, Va'avam Kilashainai, Viela Yehudim, the two to go together. By Klal Yishol, the Elha Yehudim is both Kichsava and the Kilashainam. Klal Yishol is the synthesis of a Medina and an Am. The Medina refers to, when it comes to Medina, the word that the Pasuk connects to Medina is the script. When it comes to the Am, the word the Pasuk connects is the Lashon. And then when it comes to the HaYehudim, we don't say the Yehudim in their Medina and as a nation. The Yehudim is one expression which is catch-all. The Yehudim is the Medina, all wrapped up. The Am and the Medina wrapped up, packaged together. Kichsavam v'chil shaynam. There must be some deeper.
Define Medina to the Jews. They don't have a
state of Israel.
Territory.
Yeah.
In Golus.
Goshen. I mean, is there an equivalent?
But that's why it doesn't say Medina by Yerushalayim.
There was a Yerushalayim, there was a settlement at this
Medina
point in time.
Yerushalayim, there was Slavon. And the Medina was the...
Okay, there was a settlement. It is. It's only for 56 years was the land bottle. We're way past 56 years now since the Chumash Yerushalayim, so there was definitely a settlement. They even began to build the foundation of the Bayit Sheni. So there was the Medina, and there was the Ksaf. Okay, I don't know the answer. I just want to point out that it's a very unique expression. So we're dealing with the world. Yeah. But when it comes to the nations of the world, we're differentiating. There is a Medina, Kichsava, there's an Am, Kilashonai, and then when we describe Klal Yisrael, we don't use the terms Medina and Am. It's Yehudim. The Yehudim are not limited to time and place. They're not. Klal Yisrael is different. They're Am Levadad Yishkain.
We call Am Lashon.
It's a different league. It's a different league, and you can't even take the words Medina and Am and use those words in reference to Klal Yisrael. The Megillah refers to Klal Yisrael, HaYehudim. Everyone else in the world, you can call them an Am, you can call them a Medina, you can figure out. Klal Yisrael is a unique expression. The Yehudim, they're not limited to time and place, and the Nela, then we can...
They're everywhere.
Okay, they're not just located in one. Okay, well, that's also they're not just located in one individual location.
The Jews were already in England between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni.
Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni.
Records of Jews
all over.
Already,
they came to
totally
they,
all the way.
Yeah,
England.
That yeah. Early, that they early, that
Germany
back.
Also, they went to there's 11 Ezra cipher rolls to the people of Germany. Worms.
What do you think the Indians came from?
Sparrow one.
Who are the Indians? Some want to say that there is such a conspiracy theory. We may say that the Indians are from the Aseret HaShvatim. There were Indians that there was a famous thing that they had a minig on Shabbos. They did these things. They did it on the seventh day, which resembled some of the halachas of Shabbos.
They say the Taliban because of their names.
The Taliban
family names. They call themselves family tribes. Ben Joseph, Ben
Abraham. Yeah.
That's how they call them.
The Taliban. The Turi Caritas.
Family, you know.
They're a branch of the Turi Caritas.
That's what they want.
They look, you know, they look Hasidish, no?
Well, they say it's open. As they grow older, they let them grow one pass. Then they cut them off after they should blend in.
They would say that they were afraid Osama bin Laden. He could have just hidden the Hasidish community. No one would discover him. What? Yeah, the jokes.
He would. Joker had a picture of him.
Right, remember?
He was in the subway system. He's looking up, you know, how to get home. He's standing in the subway.
And Saddam together had one picture, Saddam and Osama.
Okay. Now there's the main topic of discussion on this pasuk. Okay, again, besides the fascinating idea, there are 43 words. The longest pasuk in Tanakh is why did it take so long? Why did it take so long to write the letters? Esther pleads immediately. That the truth is, we don't know exactly when Esther went to plead with Ahasuerus. She doesn't say exactly when she Bayomahu. When we started the Perek Chesed, began with Bayomahu. We're clear as a day that on the 13th, on the 15th day of Nisan, or the 16th day of Nisan, or on the 17th day of Nisan, whatever it was, it's either one of those days, 15, 16, 17, according to the different commentators, Bayom Ahu, Mordechai was put to death. Haman was put to death. He was hung by Mordechai. And Ahasuerus transferred his assets to Esther, and Esther transferred control to Mordechai. Okay. That took place on the 15th day of Nisan. Let's assume it was the 15th day, or let's assume the 16th day of Nisan. Let's assume 6th day of Nisan. So now, what took so long? Then it says, "Vatoysef Esther, pasuk gimel, vatidaber lefnei hamelach." It does not say when she spoke again to the king. It could be that she spoke to the king on day 16 as well. Very possible, or maybe not. Maybe there was a delay. We don't know. But one thing we know for sure, that from the 15th day of Nisan until the 23rd day is almost 2 months. That's 53 days. 53 days, right? I got my math right? The 23rd day, the 23rd day. Why did it take so long? What is taking so long? So we don't know. It's a mystery. But obviously, there's, you know, there's politics, there's red tape, and there's a lot of things that how to work out.
According to I don't know who in particular, but I think Malva maybe, that there was an argument between Mordechai and Esther.
What to do? Proceed.
How to exactly write it without getting Ahasuerus too upset, because he was still alive.
Okay.
How not to make him look like the total villain and put it on Haman's shoulder.
There were a lot of things going on here. We went through all of these different things. There's a lot going on. So it took time, obviously, until all the dust settled and the plan was a plan. Fine. So we don't know exactly why it had to happen. But looking in hindsight, from the point of Hashkocha Pratis, what is the significance that the letters finally went out on the 23rd day? So the Medrash and all the Mefarshim, they take note that it's exactly 70 days from the 13th day of Adar, from the time when the letters were originally written. When were the letters? When was the Gezerah put into effect? When did Haman write? When did Haman on the 13th day of Adar? From the 13th day of Adar, it was the day when Haman he sent the letters out to the world, and telling them Liyos Asidim LaYom Hazeh. Until the Gezerah was batel or mevutel is exactly 70 days. Oh, now once we have the number 70, so now we have what to talk about. So what's the significance of that? So one of the ideas related is that this means that during these 70 days, the Jewish people were in a state of tzar. And when they were in the state of tzar, they were all doing tshuva. Because then the letters were sent out on the 13th day of Adar. And it was cancelled, or the protection was granted to the Jewish people to defend themselves on the 23rd day of Sivan. So during these 70 days, they were terrorized. They were afraid for their lives. And they did tshuva to some degree. This was a kapara, yoyim lashana, yoyim lashana, for the 70 years of Golus. That's what the Medrash says. They were in Golis. The Golis was Yirmiyah's Golis from the time of the Churban Beis Hamikdash until the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash would be exactly 70 years. So we discussed there are three different layers, three different dimensions to the 70 years. But there was a 70-year period of Golis. So now, for 70 days, Klal Yisrael were doing tshuva to be mechaper for the fact that they were in Golis, or the Averis they did in Golis, or the fact that they caused there to be a Golis for 70 years. And there's another medish, which is very difficult to understand what the significance of this medish and what's the connection, is that this was a reward to Paro. Now, what does Paro have to do with the Megillah? I don't know. To Paro for giving honor, or to even to Mitzrayim, to giving honor for 70 days to Yaakov Avinu. When Yaakov Avinu died, it says that they mourned for him, they eulogized him 70 days. So because they gave cover to Klal Yisrael 70 days, there were 70 days, the Umos HaOlam were granted 70 days where they were not subject to, I don't know the connections. There were 70 days of what? They were not subject to the humiliation or whatever it is. Those seven, I'll leave you just with that medrash, the 70 days. Okay, there's also another point of 70 days which is not necessarily related to this. I don't know how you can connect it, in that the Medrash says the days of glory for Haman were exactly 70 days. From the time Haman was elevated to be the Mishnah Lemelech, Achar Hadvama Gidel HaMelech Achashverosh Es Haman Ben Hamdaso HaGogi, when the Pasuk begins, Perek Gimel begins with Haman being elevated, to the day of his downfall was exactly 70 days. So the number 70 is a very prominent number in the Megillah. It doesn't hurt that the word Yayin is Begematria 7. Nichnas Yayin Yetze Sod. So it's all you want to point out is that the number 70 is being thrown around quite a bit in the Megillah. Yayin is 70, Nichnas Yayin Yetze Sod. Sod is Begematria 70. This whole Megillah is all built, is anchored upon the Mishnah Yayin, but it's also anchored upon the celebration that the 70 years of Golus have passed and nothing is doing. That's the whole story. The Megillah begins with the party that, look, the Jewish people, 70 years have passed, nothing is happening, so it's all 70. Haman was elevated for 70 years, 70 days, until his downfall. And here, from the Tkuf of Tsar, Klal Yisrael felt threatened to a very great degree for exactly 70 days, from the 13th day of Adar until the 23rd day of Sivan, when the letters were dispatched to give them permission to bear arms and protect themselves.
Yeah. Maral picks up on that 70 days, and that Amalek is called the Rashis of 70 nations, and therefore
Rashis Gan Amalek. Okay. Okay. So again, we have another degree of 70. Okay. Let's go to.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
I heard another thing. The reason why they waited, they want the same guys to go back.
Oh, we're coming to that. Oh, very right. Very good. Very good. Okay, you're saying right. Correct. The reason why the idea that we just gave was a hashkafic idea. Why did it have to work out that it happened on this exact particular date? Technically, why did it take until the 23rd day, of Sivan? So either we don't know, there was a lot of red tape, bureaucracy to go through laws and things that had discussions that were going on between Mordechai and Esther and Achashverosh, exactly what to do. But the Farshim say your interpretation as well, is they wanted the same messengers who sent the first letters to deliver the second letters. Because if they're going to dispatch new letters immediately, let's say on the 15th day, on the 16th day of Sivan, when the people receive a second letter, they'll say, why should we listen to the second letter more than the first letter? Who says the second letter is authentic? Maybe the two letters really contradict one another. The first letter is saying that we should destroy the Jews, and the second letter says the Jews can defend themselves. So maybe there's something hanky-panky going on. Who says the second letter? So, but if the same messenger comes back, the same mailman arrives back with a second letter, and he tells you this is a supplement to the first letter is good, the second letter is also good, then the second letter will have validity. So they bedafka, There was no shortage of people to go and deliver the message, the second message. They waited for the first delivery men to return so they can go back and send the second message. So that's the technical reason of why it took so long. Very good. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Vayikosev. So what did it say? Vayichtov. And the pasuk Yud Vayichtov. B'shem HaMelech Achashverosh. It was written in the name of Achashverosh. Vayachtov. Now notice this over here was a little bit of a change because what did Achashverosh instruct Mordechai? Pasuk Ches V'atem Kisvu Al HaYehudim Katov Enechem B'Shem. He did say B'Shem HaMelech. In the name of the king. So indeed, Pasuk Yud says, Vayachtov, it was written B'Shem HaMelech Achashverosh. Vayachtov, it was sealed B'Tabas HaMelech, the sealing of the king. Vayishlach Sifarim, they sent Sifarim. It was sealed here. I don't know. He wrote. They would stamp. It was in wax. Ancient times. It was sealed.
He wrote.
First, it was written. The soifim, the scribes. The scribes wrote the text.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But then they sealed in wax.
And yeah.
They sealed in hot wax. And you put the signet ring of the king. B'tabas HaMelech v'yishlach sefarim b'yad harotzim b'asusim. People that run on horses. Roich v'harechesh ho'achash de'ronim b'nei haramochim. This is one of the expressions that Chazal tell us we do not know what these things are. We do not know. And therefore, if a person reads the Megillah, that's the one of the problems of reading the Megillah in a foreign language. If you read the Megillah in English or in French, or in Spanish, or in Yiddish, you're going to have a very hard time coming to translate the words "Suachash Nim Bnei Haramochim," because we do not know what this is. All we know is
or they'll use fancy translations of words we don't understand either. So you
have no choice but to take and to actually read these words themselves in their original form. All we know is it's some type of exotic type of a camel? Is it a camel? Or is it a horse? It's some type of exotic creature which goes very, very quickly. It's a Porsche, a Lamborghini. A special type of car which goes very, very quickly. It's all we know. And the first one was a chosh. The word chosh comes from the word chosh. Chosh. Chish maher, quick, swift. It has that word. Bnei haramachem. Let's see over here what it says in the Rashi. Pasuk Yud. Biad harotzim. What is in the rotzim? The runners. Rochvei susim shetzivolohem larutz. People who ride on the horses, there was commanded they should go on the horse and larutz. Now, originally, when they wrote the first set of letters, it does not say all of these expressions. If we go back to the beginning, right, beginning of the Megillah. Let's just clarify this point. Everyone should respect their wives. Paragimel. And Paragimel, what did it say? It says v'nishleach sifonim biyad horotzim and pasuk yud gimel. Paragimel pasuk yud gimel. Okay, the letters were sent. Let's give back one pasuk before. Pasuk Yud Beis. Vayikaru Sefer HaMelech b'chodesh Rishon b'shosh bo on the 13th day of Adar. Vayikosev chalash yitzibo haman. El achashtar p'nei HaMelech v'yal b'chos v'ashar al midim midino v'yal surei al v'om midino midino kis v'yal v'om kloshno b'shem melech chosh nechtob. And notice when Haman sent the letters, it did not say that it should be sent to the Jews. The Jews, it wasn't, isn't that very telling? Does not say v'el ha'yudim kichsavam l'chil shaynam. The Jews were a non-entity in his eyes. They did not need to know that they're going to be destroyed. Okay, but and then he writes b'shem ha'melech achashverosh nechtov 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 el kol medinois ha'melech. Now notice does not say the horses.
Yeah.
Okay, that, it just says v'nishloach sifonim b'yad harotzim, and here it says v'nishloach sifarim. Where is the pasuk again? Biad harotzim basusim. The horses are mentioned. So the Mefarshim I still pick up on that. I mean, Lahash Melahar Lamed Kol Yidim Minav Yazakain. Okay, let's go further. The next pasuk, Pashegin Agasal Nezuchol Dolim Golim Chomim Harotzim Yotzu Dichvim Zar Melech VeAdas Dinan B'Shan Habira. There is no mention in reference to the first set of letters to destroy the Jewish people that the Rotzim should go on horses, and there's no mention that they should go on the Achashteronim B'nei Haramochim. So what happened? So some of the commentators suggest that the first set of letters they went by foot. You don't go. They didn't go by horse. They went slowly. Here, due to the imminent danger that the Jewish people found themselves in, Mordechai insisted that it's same day mail. Like check out on Amazon, right? So Prime. So Prime, you only get free. You get free for one next day delivery. You don't get free that day unless you live in New York City. 2 day delivery. 2 day. 1 day. The same day. Now they have even same day delivery in Manhattan. Even pay for, and they even have in Manhattan 1 hour. Prime now is experimenting with 1 hour delivery. It's for certain items in Manhattan. 1 hour delivery. So here, basically, Mordechai. Haman was willing to destroy the Jewish people, but he just said, I'll settle for UPS or United States Postal Service, which whatever, five to ten business days. Here, when
for the guys to come back.
And then they had to wait for them to come back also.
Very long house. Oh, that only took a few months.
Well, no, it says see, from 70 days. It took them 70 days to come and go back. So it's not so big to get, you know, to get, think about our mail. 70 days. 13th day of Adar. So it's 70 days later. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Express. Then they could have sent
them. They would have gotten the second letter before the first letter.
They came back already. No, but they came back. The people came and came back. They waited for the.
It takes 35 days to go?
Yeah.
So we're talking 16 days in this.
Yeah.
So it's 45 days.
Yes.
So if the guy was slow.
Well, that was the argument. Ein hachinami. That exactly. You're coming to explain that was the argument that Mordechai and Esther had against to bring it back. They could have sent express service to catch the messengers. Since the messengers from Haman did not go on the horses, they were just called Rotzim, no horses, no Achashteronim b'nei Haramochim. So you could have sent now the horses and the Achashteronim b'nei Haramochim to get. They should never even get the letter. They should never even get the letter. This is what they appeal to Achashverosh, and Achashverosh is Akshon and says, no, ain't no, it's not right. They went, I want the letters already, they went, let them go. So they only had to wait until they came back, and now they sent emergency next day or same day service with all of these, the cavalry, to make sure that they come back quickly. They waited until, because they wanted to have the same messengers. But the same messengers now went first class. They didn't go by foot. They now went on horses. And now they went on the Ramachim.
So the same messengers knew who they delivered it.
They did deliver it to. And that included the validity. That since over here I'm coming back with another letter than you saw me last week, so you know that what I'm bringing you is authentic. So this was the technique. It was done in great swiftness. Let's see Rashi, Pasuk Yud. Biyad harotzim ruchvei susim shetzibu lechem alerotzo hachashtronim. So over here he says, Rashi says, min gimalim, camels hamimaharim larotz. I never knew camels go quickly. Okay, I thought that the horses are the ones that go very quickly. Camels. Iraq? Why camels? They're big and tall. Very good. They are quick. Camels are quick. Faster than horses?
Well, they don't get tired. A horse gets tired. The actual rest. Camels can go longer without resting.
They're resting. Okay, so maybe the long. Harots, they have both.
What does Blaine and Ramacha mean?
We don't know.
I don't know. It's some type. It's a certain type of variety. A certain type of yichus. B'nei Haramachma maybe means the name of a place. I really no idea. We'll see what's in Targum a moment. But the certain type of camel. If horses and camels participated in spreading the word, that the Jewish issue. Yet when it came to Yitzias Mitzrayim, it was the donkeys. Okay, Yitzias Mitzrayim. What do we go out with out of Mitzrayim? Donkeys, chamorim. In the geula of of our salvation, which creature participated in our salvation, it was horses and camels. Let's see the Targum. Pasik Yud. Pasuk in the Targum, v'ichtav b'shum nemro de malko. It was written in the name of the king, Achashverosh, v'istetam, and it was sealed, b'izkas situmta, the signet ring, the malko, u'shlach pitkin. Pitkin means books. Now, that's also very interesting, that the word book is not in the Megillah. We are very medactic to use the word Megillah and not the word Sefer. They are the Chomesh Megillot. We're learning Megillah Sester. We don't. It's not Sefer. So you would think if this is only called a Megillah, a letter should be called a Sefer. So what is going on here? They sent Sefarim. It's also, what does it say when it comes to in Paragimel? In Paragimel, it says in Paragimel v'nishlach Sefarim b'yad harot simol kol midvan samach. So why does it say the word Sefarim and not say the word igros? What is going on? So the only suggestion I can think of is that, you know, when you get an invitation in the mail, sometimes you get just a piece of paper in your mailbox that's a Shalom Zohar on your, one of your neighbors making, they just put a piece of paper, and sometimes you get an invitation, and some people they send you these exotic invitations. You ever get an invitation, a plate, or I'm sure you've seen some of these really outrageous things people send as an invitation. So it could very well be is that when it says here the word Sefarim, when the people got it, like certified mail. If you just go send postcards to all the people in all the various countries, postcards, you don't even notice. I mean, do you really pay attention to all of your mail? Some people do. And some people, they're not, you know, they're not with the program. They don't pay full attention to every piece of mail that comes. But if you really want to get someone's attention, you send it certified mail. Or you send them a box. Or you send them something exotic, something very significant that is guaranteed to catch their attention. The Nishloach Sefarim has a connotation. Haman and Mordechai as well didn't just send postcards. They sent the message. They sent something very significant. It was a book. It was a sefer with a binding, with a cover, a back and a front, and a cover, an introduction, a foreword, a haskama from all the gedolei hadar. They gave the haskama, and then there was a glossary. There's a bibliography. It was a document of significance that no one would be able to forget or ignore. People would know exactly what it says. Haman did this, and Achashverosh, I mean, and Mordechai, the peers, also employed the same technique in order to make sure people knew that the Jewish people have the right to defend themselves.
And Ezra makes the point of saying that he had to, like, counterpoint, he had to answer directly every
single word for word.
Word for word, what Haman wrote, he had to write exactly why, because he asked the question. Why did he have to write about them rising up and fighting back? He said, you have a right to save yourself. But he was answering Haman word for word, the original.
Yeah. Isn't it strange that we don't have any of these left over today in any museum? Any one of these letters? It would be priceless to have one of these letters.
We don't have anything in the museum but the whole story.
They removed it from history.
I heard
that the Persians kept good records that we know a lot about.
Well, you
that
see all the things
era.
That have been destroyed now, things that they're digging up are being destroyed little by little by the...
They send letters to the entire world. There must have been thousands of these sent out documents. So we're calling here Sefarim to the entire world. And where are they today? It's not all that long ago. It's 2,000 years ago. There are things that we have that have been preserved for more than 2,000 years. But nothing, we have no zecher of any of these things.
Maybe you sent one letter.
Only 127. 127. Could be in Echanami. Only sent 127 of them. Only 127 letters were sent. Not found. One, that's what it says. Medina, 127. A proclamation. Okay, let's go further. Let's go further in the Targum. Oshlach pitkin bidada dir hitonin. Rohatesus in the runners. The people who run on horses. The richvei richsa. And the people who ride. The richvei richsa. Are tulyone. Ramochim. Now he says here, the isnetilu ticholehon by writers who the spleens were removed. Okay, the people, the Rotsim were people, he's saying over here, the Targum is embellishing over here, people who rode on horses, and the Ramachim, the riders on these horses, or the runners.
No, runners. What? Runners were made lighter.
By removing their spleen. The spleen, it was believed in ancient times, the spleen slows you down. It produces.
When you have a car accident, most of the problems are the spleen. You can live without a spleen, but if you have a spleen, then it gives you problems.
It secretes enzymes which slow a person down. I don't know what this means. I have no idea. Are to I do not know.
That's what nudity, naked. Nah, not the same root word. No.
Maybe it means. Maybe it means are to yone ramochim. I don't know. I don't know what this means. The intiilu tichoylehon, the iskadaru pisas kafragleon, and they also remove the nerves. In their sole of their feet, in order that if you walk, you feel the sharp rocks and pebbles on the road, you're gonna go slow. But if you take away those nerves, so you don't feel anything on your feet, then you'll run without slowing down. So they did these things. They did these very strange things. So these people, they maybe are to yone ramochim.
That's interesting.
Maybe you're right. Okay, I don't know. They remove their clothing. They travel light. They travel light so they can go. They can go very quickly. Okay, let's go. Let's do one more pasuk. Asher nusam el yehudim hashem b'chol yevo yer. What exactly was the message? What exactly was the essence? The toireif of the documents that the king has given the Jews asher b'chol yevo yer lehiko hel to assemble v'lamod al nafsham. To gather and to defend themselves, lahashmid laharogu laabedes kol chel, same midah k'neged midah, just like it was decreed against them, lahashmid laharogu laabed. Now the Jewish people, they're the ones that are going to be able to lahashmid laharogu laabedes kol chel, the army of Am umidino hatsarim oisam, not just the enemies, taf v'nashim ushlalom lavos, and they can take for themselves their spoils. It's powerful stuff. Very weird. How often do you have in history where Klal Yisrael has the power to organize? See, it's one thing if you have the right to defend yourself. Today in America, so there are a lot of laws. If you're allowed, you have a licensed weapon, you're allowed to defend yourselves. But you're not allowed to go in America. You're not allowed to go and form your own militia. You can't go and get together a couple people on your block. We all have weapons, and we're going to have our own army. You can have a militia.
No.
Oh, see, it's against the law. You see, Lehi Kohel is illegal. So it's one thing that you have right to bear arms. It's in the Constitution. You have right to bear arms. That's Obama. That's the legislation, executive order. All the different, all the fighting going on. You can defend yourself by bearing arms, and you can. But to go lehiko hell, to have a militia, America, you can't do this in America. The lamod al nafsham. So this is an incredible chiddush. Cannot make light of this word in the Megillah. The Jews were given such power, such rights of protection. They even were allowed to form their own militia to protect themselves. And they can wipe out also. They can wipe out. Why? Maybe they'll be afraid.
He said initially the original
midah k'neged midah
to wipe out men, women, and child.
And ushlalom lavos, you can take their spoils. No yarshim. This is an extreme degree. This pasuk is
giving you back everything you.
So let's look at the Rashi. Rashi pasuk gidal v'shalom lavos kasher nichta berishoynis. Exactly, Yisrael Bamevsky. See Rashi kasher nichta berishoynis veheim babi zaban. But Rashi points out that the Jewish people never went so far. They never. We don't find they killed their taf and nashim. We don't find that. They only find they killed men. And it says veheim babi zal lo sholchu es yadam she. They showed the world that we're not in it for the money. We're not here to go and defend ourselves and to fight for the money. We're just here to survive. And goals are only here for survival. So this was the essence of the letter. Let's see over here what it says in the Targum Pasuk Gidalf. The Hav Malka Li Yehudoi, he gave them permission to the Jews, Lisaya, to assemble. Okay, Lisaya means like a Sia, when you travel a caravan. which is the translation for the word lehiko hel, di b'chol kirva v'kirva, in every single city, le'iskansha, as l'saya means to assist, l'saya di b'chol kirva v'kirva, le'iskansha, that means to assemble. He gave them permission, he gave them permission in every city, le'iskansha, to assemble, u'lekayama, Yos Naf Shehon, to save their lives, L'Sheitza'ah, to defend themselves. L'Sheitza'ah means to bring salvation. U'l'katolah, u'l'hoivodah, to kill and to destroy. Yos Kol Chilvas Amah, any army of a nation, U'pilcha, or a district, the Mi'ikin Yason, which causes them pain or suffering, including Taflin Unishin, including the children, Taflin, the wives, Ush Lo Lehon La Adoa, and the spoils of these people they can keep for themselves, they can have. Okay, we'll stop over here.